Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time again to meet our community right here in Orange County's only community radio station with the only man who knows all the community, president of the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Ruben Franco. Hey, Ruben.
Hey, Paul, how are you? Okay. I don't know all the community, but I'm getting there.
A couple you didn't know, but they're coming on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's getting close. But thank you, everybody, for listening to Our Community is Your Community podcast, where we get to share our community with you and the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We've been around 40 years, and we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. And
congratulations. Actually,
thank you. We just had our big gala with nearly 800 people at the Disneyland Grand Ballroom, so that was quite
fabulous. Can I just do a shout-out for that before
sure.
I shut up here?
Absolutely.
That was an incredible event. What I would think, everybody keeps saying, can this thing get any bigger? I don't know. You'd have to build another building next to it or something.
It could get bigger. They can actually blow out the walls to the convention center to make it bigger. So we can get bigger, actually.
It's like the Academy Awards. People get dressed up. Every politician I knew was there. Yeah. Every big corporate leader was there. All those mom-and-pop businesses were there. It was incredible.
Yeah, we had to turn people away because we were, like, sold out. It was crazy. But, David, thanks for being on the podcast. We're fortunate to have a repeat guest, yes. David Wetzel with Spin OC. He was great last time talking about the issue of homelessness and what they focus on. And so,
you know, that puts a lot of pressure on him when you say he was great last time.
He was. it was very eye opening.
Let's hope for a repeat performance.
Very eye opening for me because it's something that's near and dear to my heart. I work on a different level with the LA mission up on Skid Row. It keeps me involved in LA where I grew up. But we're focused differently there than what David and Spin OC is focused on. And so let's bring it back where we were last time when we talked. You were mentioning tell everybody what Spin OC focuses on when we're talking about homelessness.
Yeah, so what we do is we focus specifically on families with children. When you think about the problem and the challenge that the county has, it's pretty wide and varied. You've got transition age youth, you've got individuals with substance use, you've got veterans, right. A whole big old group. We try and hone in specifically on families, and we do that because we believe that, and I personally believe that, the children in our community, the children experiencing homelessness in our community, really merit priority. They should be the first in line.
I agree. So how many people are in that group that in Orange County?
In Orange County, like I say, there's probably about 7,500 people experiencing homelessness. When we look at families, it's at last count, it's about 350 families. That constitutes about 700 kids who are
within those families.
Yeah,
okay.
They're in the backseat of a car, they're in an encampment, they're at a shelter, or they're simply living on the street. And so those are the folks we try and really pay attention to.
And what's the effectiveness of, if you reach out, if today you were able to reach out to those 350 families and provide them services, what's the stickiness of them being able to get out of that?
We have a pretty good success rate. We're over about 90% of the families that we serve.
Okay.
Once we get them housed, and that's no easy effort, but once we get them housed and we provide them supportive services, case management, referral services, we try and get them mentally and physically healthy. We try and get them housed, and then we work with them on all the basics that you would imagine, budgeting and credit repair and transportation and all the things that maybe many of us take for granted, but for them are challenges.
And when you say getting them housed, like what kind of housing are they getting?
So we go to the free market. So we have connections with a whole bunch of landlords across the county. And when a family comes in, when we're matched with a family, we'll spend probably about 30 to 60 days just finding a place to live. They sign the lease, so we're not a party to that. And we backstop the rent. So we typically provide about 3 months or more worth of rent support. That gives them the time and space to get stable, to get settled, and then to put a little bit of money away. And then we work with them on how to work that budget going forward so that we know that they stay that way once we get them housed.
Because one of the challenges is just putting down a deposit. When you're like that or in those circumstances, just scratching up enough money to put a deposit down to even get to that point is challenging.
Yeah, and when you think about, if you think about working families and minimum wage, it's everything that a two-income family can do at minimum wage to even just make the rent. And Orange County, they're typically going to pay $2,500 or more a month just for a very basic place. Yeah, it's a challenge. And there's some misconception out there about what the primary causes of homelessness are in Orange County. And the biggest one is affordability. And I'm sure most folks out there probably can put their head around that.
When it costs, I think the last number I saw was that it cost $349,000 an annual salary just to afford a house here in Orange County?
Yeah.
That's pretty astronomical.
I was looking at some of the, we talk about fair market rent and income, and for a family to live just bare bones but comfortably with four people in the family, they got to be making $100,000 or more. And our clients typically aren't close to that.
That's right. First steps, getting them housed in a sense, and then you're helping them with also job placement sometimes and things like that. And how effective is getting them in a job? How hard is that, I guess?
We're fortunate in a few ways. And one way is that when the families come to us, they're pretty compelled, right? You want to take care of your kids. So for the most part, they're ready. They're connected. Many of them are working families. So many of them are already employed. Some of them have supplemental social services if they have a disability. So for the most part, we have some type of income for people coming in. And then we'll work, like you say, we'll work pretty diligently to try and help them find better placement, do career advancement, get a job if they need one, help them with transportation. Oftentimes, these are folks who, for whatever reason, maybe they just had a medical issue or maybe their car broke down, right? Lost their job and found themselves in dire straits. But I think overall, we're pretty effective.
That's great. So 350. Now, are there more than that and you service 350 or... what is the actual population of the 7,500 here in Orange County?
So there are 350 families, roughly, that we service, and that constitutes about 1,000 people of the 7,000 total in the county.
Okay.
One of the things that we think about and worry about when I look at the kind of the publications that are out there for parsing out these populations, I rarely see families as a group. I see veterans a group. I see transition agency individuals. And so that's one of the reasons why we focus so hard on families is because I think they're often not the headline.
They're not. More of encampments, obviously vets, which deserve to be taken care of, transition, foster youth. There's all these different groups. And I think what you guys focus on makes sense, right? This is what you do well. You're going to focus on this. And if hopefully, as we go about tackling this issue, we do that way. We don't do it all for one, because we were talking before the podcast about that. And sometimes we just jumble it all into one, and that's not going to be the most effective for everybody.
Yeah, and even when you look, so we work with the coordinated entry system, which is a county-run system that helps us keep track of everybody.
Right.
And even when you look at that list of hundreds of families, one of the challenges we face is the fact that once a family identifies themselves, they call somebody and say, look, we're unhoused, we need help. It's probably going to be a couple of months before anybody even can get back in touch with them in a meaningful way. And it's probably going to be somewhere between 5 and 18 months before they actually receive meaningful assistance. So we work hard at trying to, and we actually just introduced a new program, New Start Family Housing Program, where we're going to target folks within the first 120 days of experiencing homelessness. And the logic behind that, you can make an argument, the way that most of the HUD-funded programs work is it's the person who's been homeless homelessness the longest. And that's certainly valid, and we've got organizations out there, lots of them, who are targeting that, and God bless them, right? But the challenge we have with that is you think about the trauma that those children are going to go through, and you think about what they're going to experience for that 5 or 6 or 8 or 12 months. Getting ready for school in the back of a car or in an encampment, not being able to invite kids over after school. Where am I going to do my homework?
Kind of the normal day-to-day kid activities, right?
There's all this stuff that there are all these basics that maybe many of us, certainly me, take for granted that these kids just don't have. And so we're trying to address that earlier and trying to basically minimize the trauma that those children experience.
Yeah. And are some of the youngest? So they some are maybe newborns even.
Yeah, I don't even. We've had mothers who've given birth in the program.
Really,
not
yeah.
literally,
but
so we see lots of strollers, and the age variation is all the way across. We have everything from children who've just been born to teenagers and upcoming young adults. So we've got a broad spectrum.
Okay, so that program is called New Start, right?
New Start.
Okay. And when you guys just started.
We just started, so it just launched this week. So it's taken us probably several months to put together and to frame, and we've now worked with the coordinated entry system and the continuum of care, and we launched it yesterday, Tuesday.
Okay.
And so we're just starting to bring in our first clients. We just screened our first three clients yesterday, and here we go.
So you'll have some data soon on the effectiveness of it and how you maybe have to tweak it or whatever you might need to do going forward.
Yeah, the good news for us is we've had a program called GAP, the Guided Assistance to Permanent Placement, and we've been running that for decades, probably, 30 plus years. And that's been very effective, and it's been very successful over time. And so this was a change of focus for us as we, that's one of the things we learned over time is how challenging it is as families become more and more acute as they spend more and more time experiencing homelessness. Right. Some of the logic with this is to try and go to the other side and try and get those families earlier and see if we can't help them sooner.
Okay, sounds good. You have a big event coming up. Why don't you tell us about this event?
Yeah, absolutely. We have Help Them Home. So each year, we, along with about 25 other organizations in Orange County, as coordinated by the Orange County Community Foundation, all get together and do a one-day fundraiser. That fundraiser is next Wednesday, all day Wednesday. Every group is focused on reducing homelessness in Orange County, all of them. They're wonderful groups. It's everybody you can think of. It's United Way, it's Pathways to Hope, it's FAM, it's all these different groups who are all focused on different populations, but all with the same issue, eliminating homelessness in our community. And so we run this one-day fundraiser. You can go on to oc.org and donate for 24 hours from all day Wednesday and next Wednesday,
the 22nd. Okay.
And all of those funds go to these organizations really trying to do what has been a challenge, I think, for the county for many years, which is our hope, our goal as a community and as a group is to eliminate people experiencing homelessness.
And how much money has been raised in the past for a one-day event?
That one-day event typically raises over $1.5 million between all 25 organizations.
Wow.
It's probably, for us, it's probably about a quarter of our annual budget. So
okay.
It's about 25% of everything we
that
bring
you
in
raised,
for the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what else do you do for SpinOC to raise money and what is that like?
It's very probably similar to most organizations out there. Of course, we apply for a lot of different grants,
sure.
Private foundation grants. We do a gala every year. This year, it's going to be on October 10th.
Okay.
And,
where's that going to be?
That's going to be at the Hilton, right over by the airport, Orange County. Or by South Coast Plaza. That, we typically, you're going to have to give me some tips on how to boost that up, because we typically have about 175 people attend that each year, and great, generous, and dedicated donors that we've had for years and years. Great supporters. Maybe you can help me get that up to 200.
Yeah.
So those are our two big fundraisers for the year, and then we just have a lot of folks who, on an ongoing basis, are dedicated to the work that we do and are generous to us. And continue to help and donate on a regular basis.
So you get private funding, but do you also get any federal or state money as well?
We historically have used HUD funds, which is the primary funder in the county. HUD injects probably about $34 million through the continuum of care into the county a year.
Okay.
This year, we do not have those funds. So there's been some changes in the way that federal funding is happening. So this year, we're leaning into private funding. And New Start will actually be completely funded privately. Privately and foundations, but no government funding.
Okay. So where did HUD decide to put that money, I guess, is the question.
They revamped their prioritization process, so how they prioritize groups and efforts. They just changed the way that they do that, and so it's going to different groups for different reasons.
Okay.
It's still going towards helping folks overcome these types of issues, but...
But just a different focus.
A different focus.
Okay. So how long has SpinOC been around?
Geez, we started in 1987.
Okay.
So this was founded by a gentleman named Sam Boyce.
Okay.
And years ago, it started out as a very pure street outreach program. So he was with a faith group, faith-based group, and they every week would collect blankets and food and shoes and hygiene kits, and they just walk out to the streets of Newport and Costa Mesa and Orange County and find folks who were experiencing homelessness and give them whatever they thought they could, they would need. And over time, that evolved into them starting to understand some of the things that these folks were going through and some of the causes. And so that evolved into SPIN. Initially, in addition to a housing program, we also had a substance use program. Mm. That kind of evolved and our focus kind of narrowed. And when you think, when I think about strategy and what we should do as an organization, I think doing less better is the right way to go. And so over time, that's what we've done, is we've done less better and really honed in on families. And
yeah.
So that's where we are today.
So how many people do you think were served back in 87?
Jeez.
We even have a guess?
I couldn't tell you. Probably hundreds.
Yeah. So, but still having an effect in 87.
Still, yes.
I think the population probably in Orange County then was maybe around 2 million, maybe? I don't even know.
I don't know, but it was just a small group, probably a handful of folks, and it grew over time and then got structured over time.
Yeah.
And there was a woman who was working with him, Jean Wagoner, and she became the first executive director, and she was actually at the helm for probably almost 3 decades. Unfortunately, she passed in 21, and so here I am.
Okay. So you've been executive director for five years now.
No, we had a little turbulence in between.
Okay.
I've gone 2 years now, so I'm in year three.
And, okay.
And it's great organization. It's been a wonderful experience.
And where were you before?
I was in the private sector. I was actually, the last real job I had was running a restaurant chain. I was president of Farmer Boys out of the
Empire. Oh, yeah,
that's right.
We did talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite that's a family-owned chain, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It was fun. They're a great group. And it was great work. At some point in your life, we were fortunate, and we have 4 kids, and we got them all launched and out of college and on their way. And just about probably 4 years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to think about what we wanted to do versus what we needed to do.
Right.
And so that's how I landed at SPIN. Spent some time getting an education through UCI on nonprofit management and networking a lot, talking to a lot of the folks in this space, many of the folks that you've interviewed, I'm sure. And decided it was time for a life change, so here I am.
What's your relationship like with the other groups that do service this homelessness as well? How do you collaborate with them?
The continuum of care is the primary vehicle for that. So there's a whole group in the county who get together on a regular basis. They have a board and a very structured process, and it's all of these groups, all of these dozens of groups who are focused on ending homelessness. We meet on a very regular basis. We collaborate very closely, not only through that group and through that process, but just informally. There's a lot of, as you can imagine, there's a lot of conferences. There's a lot of trainings that go through. And there's a few groups like 1OC or OCCF who provide a lot of opportunity for us to come together and have good conversations about how to address this in a very collective way. And I think for us ultimately to have an effect, and meaningful effect, it's going to take all of that, right? We need that kind of collective impact. Just 2 years ago, Sam Welly came out with a couple of very large grants with that understanding, where Sam Welly is a foundation who donates to these types of causes, and they came out with a really significant contribution to really help a collective impact, to help us all get and keep together and try and row in the right direction.
Has there been a symposium or some kind of conference where we're bringing, I don't think, I know United Way did one maybe 5-6 years ago, and I went to it, but has there been something recently where we've talked about globally about homelessness here, at least in Orange County, right? Not maybe not all of Southern California, but at least here in our backyard.
There's not one that I can think of.
I can't think of one.
Yeah, but
maybe it's time. It's time to do one. We could host it maybe downstairs at the Cove and have a discussion about. Yeah, because I think everybody has to pitch in, and I think maybe we were talking about this earlier. Not everybody's passionate about homelessness, but maybe they're passionate about kids, or maybe it's cancer or whatever it may be. But stick to it and keep helping out. Right? We need sticky donors and sticky advocates, and find your passion when it comes to that. But people who are passionate about this, maybe we do need to get together and talk about it globally, how we can come together and work together to make a significant impact here in Orange County.
And I think there's a good amount of brilliance to that, right? I think, and we were talking about this a little earlier, I think that a lot of folks think of giving of their time or right. their wealth as an event. And I think it would be very helpful for all of us as a community, whatever your passion, to think of it more as a dedication, yep. as a kind of life work. And whether you get involved in a board of a nonprofit or whether you mm-hmm. give because you have the means to do that or whether you volunteer, all of those things are great ways to really help address a significant issue. And I think the more we think as a community about this as a process and less as an event, I think yeah. the better off we are.
Yeah, we want to be less transactional and more right. dedicated to the process in the community itself.
Absolutely.
How big is your board of directors?
Our board is only 10 people.
Okay.
And they're a wonderful group. They've been dedicated to us for a long time. We have a couple of even founding members, I believe. And our team is small. We're just 7 people.
Okay.
We're small but mighty, but yep. we have a pretty significant impact. And the board and the team both have an oversized impact. In addition to the housing that we do for families, we field about 2,400 calls a year, guiding people to different services. We have a pantry on site, so both for our clients and for some walk-in folks to help find basics for people who need it. We do corporate and community service events on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. We did about 30 over the last year to get
really?
Different corporations
oh.
involved and both knowledgeable about the issue and helpful. We do holiday baskets for Easter, for Thanksgiving. We do for Christmas and the holidays. We do gift baskets. And all of this is from the grace of our donors. So we
right.
have all of these different organizations, National Charity League and Pacific Life, and all these different groups who support us on a regular basis and do these events so that we can provide these families with things that, again, most of us take for granted.
That's right. And I think people who haven't been in the nonprofit world don't realize how important a board is, right? Those are volunteer people for the most part, and we extend our reach with a board. We extend our finances with a board, right? Because you can't pay for everything, and they're volunteers, and we need more of that leadership too. We've talked about even having a symposium about getting more people involved on boards, right?
Yeah.
Especially some of our younger people who are looking. That's how I started here in Orange County. I didn't have any connections and got on the board of Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and I learned a lot. There was a 40-person board with just some real people here in the county that were just movers and shakers, and I learned a lot just being on that board. And I tell people, a lot of people say, how can I network? And I said, part of it, you can just volunteer for an organization and maybe even volunteer and be on a board. Volunteer and network at a higher level, right?
Yes.
You don't have your hand out asking for business necessarily. That could maybe come down the pike, but it's just something that I've learned, and I think it makes sense.
And the Chamber's a great model for that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I'd welcome anybody who's interested to get involved with us. I think you're right in that you never really understand how rewarding that can be until you actually experience it. And when you look at like the resources that we are blessed with, the board has a huge
yes.
hand in generating those resources.
Absolutely.
So the board probably through their work, through their personal donations, and through their network probably brings in, gosh, half or more of everything that we earn in a year. But to your point, that's really not the point. The point is these are people who are passionate and
yep.
care about this issue. They demonstrate it through their actions and through the way that they stay committed and through the support that they provide the team. And we're very blessed to have just a wonderful board of directors.
We are too. I can't believe we're running out of time here, but how do people get in contact with you?
So for our fundraisers, spinoc.org,
okay.
spinoc.org. If you go to that webpage, they can donate. They can learn more about us.
Okay.
If you want to get involved in our board, contact me personally,
okay.
David W@spinoc.org, and I'd be happy to field those calls. And we're always looking for all the help that we can get. Volunteers, board members, please give us a call.
David, thank you for what you do and what Spin OC does, and thank you for being our guest today.
And thank you for
appreciate it.
Having me again. I really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Welcome. It was a great conversation. Thank you.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to hear more about our community. Because our community is your community, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. From our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation.